King, I would like for you to hold that stone in your hand so that through this process, we are able to connect ourselves energetically to what this stone will represent for us over the next year. You know, we need symbols sometimes to remind us, to keep us grounded and in the mindset that we want to, because as the old folks used to say, the devil is busy. And the devil is really busy right now. Therefore, in order for us to be the warriors, the peaceful warriors, the loving demonstrators, the way showers that God our Father has sent us here to be, we must be and remain vigilant in this watch. I love this sign up here. It says, we're building a better world, one student at a time. You know, that is not just for the elementary school kids here. This is the elementary school of the universe. That's who we are. And we are always learning. How's the song go? Our thoughts are prayers. And we are always learning. Our thoughts are prayers. Take charge. That's right. So we have to take ownership and responsibility for our actions this year. We're making a covenant. Do you know what the word covenant means? We are making a universal agreement to stand in the truth of who God is in our life. Do you believe in God? Now, that sounds like a very basic question. And many people quickly respond, of course I believe in God. But do you really believe? Because if you really believed, there would be no doubt in your life. There would be no fear in your life. There would be no sin or missing the mark in your life. Because you would know at the center, at the core of who you are, God is. So the questions I'm going to ask you to think about over this year are three basic questions. Do you believe in God? And if you believe in God, how can you prove that? Not to me, but to you. And if you believe in God and you can prove that you believe in God, the third thing is, are you willing to get rid of the falsehoods that you have allowed to govern your life? It's a hard pill to swallow, as my grandmother used to say. But the truth is the light, so we must let it shine. We're being called now, folks. Okay, this is what our people were made for. This is who we are and what we were sent here to do. So, you know, I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for well over 20 years. And it's funny because, you know, I will ask people, or people will say, you know, we're talking about A Course in Miracles, and they say, oh, yeah, I read A Course in Miracles. We hear that all the time, don't we? I read A Course in Miracles. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Because just reading A Course in Miracles ain't just reading A Course in Miracles, okay? But the same thing is applicable to the Bible. So I've dedicated this year, and I began last month, on studying, and I mean deep down in the root, the Bible. I'm blessed that my son is taking this journey with me. And when you are looking at things through the eyes of a 38-year-old as opposed to a 67-year-old, the filter is there. And he said to me, he said, one of the things that we had to prepare to do in the beginning is to remove that filter that we believe about what we've been taught about the Bible. Now, the one thing that I have learned in this brief time is most of the stuff I thought I knew, I don't know. Can I get a bottle of water, please? Excuse me. I get really passionate about this, though. Excuse me. As I have begun to study this, I realize that there are words in the Bible that we can't take literally. We got to get into the depth of the word. So as we begin this ceremony, this white stone ceremony, it means a whole lot more literally and figuratively does it than it does, as we demonstrate it. What's the word I'm trying to think of? Symbolically. It's a deeper meaning than we believe this stone represents. Because energetically, as you change your name, you change the energy of your being. So the white stone ceremony is not just something that we do on the first Sunday following the new year. It's something that we should be symbolically, metaphorically, intellectually, spiritually doing every day. So if you change that name, you've got to start living that character. Beyoncé had the name Sasha Fierce, okay? Because the personality on stage did not represent the personality of her personal life. Same thing with a lot of these comedians and stuff. They have a whole different persona because they are creating an outside example of who they are internally. Thank you. So as we begin to focus on this white stone ceremony, let's not just do it because you got a white stone and you can think of a name and put it on. I want you to carefully think about the name you wish to select to put on your stone. I want you to make a covenant with yourself that this stone will not leave your person for the next year. It needs to be in your pocket. It needs to be in your ladies' weekend. You know, grandma used to keep her prized possessions. It needs to be on your person for the next year. Can I get a covenant? All right, y'all see a witness? Okay, we got a witness. So if I come over here and I say, where your stone at? All right? Because it's more than just a rock. It means more than just a rock in your pocket. Energetically, it's connecting you to the spirit, reminding you who you are. So the ceremony comes from the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, if you have the ears to hear, let anyone who has an ear listen. Now, what's that mean? Anyone that has an ear, listen. You got a whole lot of folks that ain't hearing what's being said in here. Egoically, that ego is dominating. So your ears are closed to the truth of who you are. Does that make sense? So let anyone who has an ear listen. How often is the Spirit talking to you, telling you, don't do that? Don't do that. How many times have we been told? And we say, if I only follow my right mind. How many of y'all have said that? Okay, when you took that left and you knew you should have taken that right, doggone it. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, what did the church represent? The church is the collective, the consciousness collective. So when you are, the churches are those whose thoughts were turned towards God, where two or more gathered. We ain't talking about a mega. All right, we're talking about where two or more are gathered. And truth be told, when two or more are gathered, it's a more sacred space and sacred understanding because there is no chaos and confusion. There is an agreement between two or more. Now, masterminding is the reason that I find in my own personal life, and A Course in Miracles gave me that, was a community of like-minded people that didn't, you know, agree with everything I said. Alfred. Right? I wasn't just a person there being a teacher. I was also a student. Ain't that right? Am I right? Because they would check me, huh, Sherry? They would check me in a minute. But that's what we are, and that's who we are, and that's what we must do. So in this ceremony, it also says to anyone who conquers that ear, anyone who conquers and begins to hear and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, I will give you manna. Now, we know when they was wandering in the desert, God said, I will give you manna. Ain't have to do anything. Just go out and get the manna, come on back, and get down, get busy, get loose. But there was a price to pay in order to get that. And that was to remain in accordance. With what it was that God was saying. It says, to all who see beyond the appearances, I will give all that is needed to live. Now that's heavy duty. Okay? To all who see beyond the appearances. What's that mean? You got to get out of this superficial, social conscious, irrelevant, I got to look like this, I got to act like this, I got to have this in order. How many friends do I have on Facebook? How many tweets am I getting? I mean, we live in a culture now. How many people showed up? You went to church on, you spoke Sunday. How many people were there? I don't need to be measured by how many of y'all are here. You follow what I'm saying? We have to get out of this egoic, dysfunctional, energetic connection to this social conscious CRAP that's going on out here. We are disconnected from the I am that we are. But the good news is he will not abandon or forsake us. But you got to get ready. You got to get the book. And let me tell you something. My baby gifted me this beautiful Bible. And I want you to know that it's not just a Bible. This is the Oxford Bible, 1611 edition, the most untainted, why don't we use the word tainted, translated Bible there is. And in my study, I have been using this Bible as well as this Bible in order to, this is the New King James Version, in order to understand the separate, what one word means in here and what that means in here. Does that make sense? So as we learn in A Course in Miracles, we always take a word, do we not? And we look at that word from different points of view. Because you can see, church may represent this to you. The brick and mortar. Okay? But we know a church is the community from which it is built. Peter would build the church on this rock. I will build my church. But you can't build nothing unless Peter's foot was on it. Therefore, we have to get away from, and this is what my son helped me to understand, the filter of what we've been taught about what the Bible represents and what it says. So when you go, I want you, if you have nothing else to do today, in this covenant for this next 365 days, commit yourself to a chapter of the Bible. Commit yourself, because guess what? You now have the ears to hear. And when you have the ears to hear, there is a quickening, an awakening that happens. And one of the most difficult things for me when I first started this process was the fact that I was like, why all the women in the Bible always prostitutes or demons or, why is all of that? My son said, you got to remove the filter. If it ain't true, it wouldn't be in here. From a perspective of knowing and understanding. But it's deeper than Mary Magdalene herself. You understand what I'm saying? It's deeper than Mary, the mother of Jesus itself. I said, why a white stone ceremony? He said to me, God's favorite bird was a dove from the mouths of babes. Dove was white. What that got to do with anything? You follow what I'm saying? We have an energetic disposition that we want to wrap around a teaching that's given to us, when in fact, that's not even what it's about. This book, tell it like it is. This book, if you have the connection to the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about the interpretation or the understanding. Because if you are not reading it from this, a connection of the Holy Spirit, you can't understand it. And that's something. And if you can't understand it or you find a challenge about a scripture that you bought, you ain't connected to the Holy Spirit. So you need to backstroke, go back into your meditation and prayer until you can understand the deeper meaning of what the word is. Now, that means having a thesaurus. That means having a dictionary. That means having an old Bible, a new Bible, and I even went to my aunt's Bible, okay? Because she had one of them big Bibles where you had your ancestors' names and your kids and all of that kind of stuff in there to get a deeper understanding. But what this ceremony is really about is spiritually connecting you to that I am. So then it says here, to all about appearances, I will give you all you need. You see, in the days of wandering in the wilderness with Moses, the manna was what God sent down each day for the people. So in Revelations, then John goes on to say, and then I will give you a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Now, We've talked about this many times. You don't share big dreams with small-minded people. You don't share your name with someone who can't support you in your vision. Now, whatever the name or word you choose to go on your stone, that's your business. We got to stop sharing our business with people who don't support our vision. Do we understand that? Sometimes you got to learn how to keep your mouth shut. We talk way too much. I've been saying that, 10 years, 15 years. We get excited about where we are and what we're doing. And we want to share that excitement and enthusiasm with other people because we want them to be a part of our community, right? Our church. We want that for them. But everybody don't want to be saved, number one. And everybody don't have the ear to hear. You got to bless them where they are. You got to be the student then. And be the example, not the teacher. You got to be the example with the discipline that you can share who and what you are by who and what they see. Jesus said, don't brag about me. I don't need you going out there telling nobody about what I'm doing. Let my miracles be the example. Let them see my work and let my work speak for itself. So we have to become that. Silent. You don't have to tell anybody, oh, I'm going on this year's sabbatical of meditation and prayer. I'm studying, learning the Bible, one line at a time. You don't need to do that. The universe is all you need to connect to, respond to, be a part of. Everything you need will be provided. Everything you need to live. Now, when they say, take this white stone and make this white stone a part of who you are, understand this part too. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, it talks about a new life. Now, check this out. Because you are now committing new name, new life, correct? Am I right? Y'all covenant, right? Okay. So with a new name comes a new life. And with a new life means you got to let some stuff go. You got to be willing to disconnect from things that don't serve you. And that could include some family and some friends. But again, you don't have to go out and say anything. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Because as you begin to evolve spiritually, as you connect to the I am within you and the other I ams around you, guess what? Those folks that aren't in alignment with who you are, they're going to fall away anyway. Oh, God, here she comes. She's going to start talking about that meditation stuff. Okay? You don't have to do anything. You just become the I am that you were destined to be. So in Ephesians 4, it says, a new life. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as a Gentile in the futility of their minds. Now you had the Israelites, who, by the way, ain't Israel. You had the Israelites. Not the Israelis, the Israelites, and the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were those that didn't follow the law, right? So they thought they knew better. They wanted to do their thing. So it says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their heart, to the hardness of their hearts. So all them people you've been ticked off with, you got to love them. You got to forgive them. You got to release them, and don't nobody know better than I do about forgiveness. Dolores, don't be laughing at me. And Jesus said, seven times, 77, right? It's a daily practice. Don't nobody master this. It is a daily practice. Every day in every way, I am getting better and better. I did a little, just to throw in my little commercial, mastermind journal for 21 steps. You can do it in 21 days. You can do one a week, however you want to do it. But it has different tips and things in here on how to keep you focused. And it's a lesson for you and a challenge for you as well. And I have a few of them out at the desk there. But the whole thing is that you have to invest in your knowledge. You have to make an investment. And I don't mean just a financial investment. I mean a spiritual investment. Give your spiritual growth and development the same time and energy you get that man that's paying that paycheck. You give him 40, 50, 60 hours a week of your time and your talent for very little treasure in comparison to what you do. I ain't met anybody that has told me they get paid comparably for what they do. They all feel that they should be paid more for the other things, not just the job description stuff. You know, when you look at teachers, teachers just don't come in, walk up to a classroom and start teaching kids. They do lesson plans the night before. They buy things for their children in order to help them learn and grow. They make an investment. Does that make sense? So you got to start making an investment in your spiritual growth and development. Because I go back to those three questions. Do you believe in God? How many say I do? Then if you believe in God, you will do what you need to do in order to tap into that Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to do the work. Because right now you believe on a superficial level. You believe until some hits the fan. Then you go into the have mercy. Please, Lord. But if you believed all along the way, you know, even though a setback is simply a setup for a greater comeback. My son said to me, I'm glad I was a prisoner of my mind. Because now I know what freedom feels like. Isn't that something? And the children will teach you. Stop thinking you know it all. Be willing, even if it don't make sense, be willing to have the ear to listen. So at this point, I want you to take your stones. If you have a name that you want, do we have pens? If you have a name, then feel free to put your name on your stone. Now, don't take this lightly. And if the name does not come to you energetically, if you can't feel a vibration connected to the name of the word that you've chosen, don't do it yet. Hold on to this rock for a little while until it speaks to you. It's not necessary for you to have to name it today or right now. But if you have the name, go ahead and do that. So as you do that, I'm going to share the rest of this ceremony with you. So I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. He is talking about a time when it was believed that the people had overcome and had made their connection with the divine. And then they received a new name. Paul to Saul, Jacob to Israel. Follow me? The name was given directly by God. That's why I'm saying don't let your ego give you a name. You wait until if you have to pray on it, meditate on it, hold your rock for a little bit till you feel the name within you and it resonates for you. It can be a name or a word. Okay, which it says here. No one else intervened. No one else was aware of this new name. It was a new nature, the freedom from bondage. When people had overcome, when they were set free from their bondage, they got the stone. Today we are each of us free of the past. Forgiveness is the key to releasing your past. You have to be willing to F, face your fears. Zero, O, organize your thinking. R, be willing to release your attachment to the how. G, be grateful for where you are and what you've done and who you are as a result of all the lessons you got. I, listen to your intuition. Pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. V, value every lesson you have had to this point, because you would not be the person you are had you not. And E is energetically, you got to, as this sign up here says, you got to understand how movement works. Make a joyful noise. Energy creates alkaline in the body. Movement of energy creates an energy in the body. Acid produces cancer. You get acid infested. Body is a breeding ground for cancer. Cancer cannot grow in an alkaline-induced state. Laughing, dancing. You ever been, you remember when you were kids and you got tickled and you got so tickled that you would lose, you could hardly breathe. Stop it. That's the kind of belly laughter you need to produce alkaline in the body. Have you ever seen an unhappy dancer? Girl, get out there, line dance. Get your own line dancer. I line dance in my living room, child. Bruno Mars, that's my man right now. Okay, I know all his moves. I record them. I go back. I'm learning them steps. And I can uptown funk with the best of them. You follow what I'm saying? Energy helps you move the spirit within your body. It helps you connect energetically to your people even. Today, each of us are free from our past. You are ready for your new self to reveal itself to you. Freedom begins within because it is a state of mind. You got to free yourself first from the bondage that's holding you back. I'm not this, I'm not that. Don't you ever, where you, no, not you, where she go? Apologize for holding the high watch for the soprano section. Where she go? All right, don't you ever do that again. Because you showed up, you stood up, and you held a space. And when nobody said nothing, had you not said something. Follow what I'm saying? You got to be the top I am in your own world before you can be an I am in anybody else's. Take out your stone and hold it in your hand. Okay, ushers did that. Give yourself a moment where you can discern a word for your stone. If you can be, if it can be all sorts of words. It can be a name or a word like allow, trust, compassion. I don't want to do that because I want you to come up with your own. I don't want to give you no help. I want you to work on this. Deep and meditatively. Anybody not have a stone? Everybody got a stone? Okay. Go ahead and take your stone in your hand. Can we have a little muzak, please? And feel the smoothness of it. Turn it within. Turn within as you are led. You may close your eyes, take a deep breath, and relax into the energy of your stone. It should be kind of warm right now. As you feel that smoothness, know that represents the unending possibilities of life that beckon you. We surrender in this moment to the limitless love of spirit, for God's love and God's grace. We are immersed in the presence of God, enfolded in God, for God is our true essence. I invite you to allow my words be the words of your own heart. I let go and I let God. I now free myself to live more fully. I release the limitations of the past, those old beliefs thought were law. And I surrender now to God's law of love and grace. I surrender limiting images of who I am and know myself to be a glorious expression of God here on this earth to make a difference. I imagine myself now leaving the prison of limitation, perhaps of my own creation, leaving behind the shackles of negative thinking. The door before me opens and I walk through to freedom. I am free. I am handed a white stone and a free, I am handed and a white stone, and it reminds me that I am free and I have a new identity. I allow myself to open to a life of unlimited possibilities beyond my imagination, acknowledging that God can dream a greater dream, bigger dream, more fantastic dream than I could ever dream for myself. I reflect and I meditate on a new name, a new word that I will claim this year, that will inspire me, that will call forth the highest and best for me. And so I listen. I listen knowing that the world is already written on my heart, trusting and knowing that in the perfect time, it will come. A thankfulness flows through this room as we receive our new name. A thankfulness flows through this sanctuary as we feel the aliveness of evolution in process, of inspiration, of becoming a new birthing, birthing a new you, new ways of making a difference, new ways of calling forth heaven on earth. For there is no limit to God's love in you, to God's strength in you, as you. And when you are ready, I invite you to open your eyes and write your word upon your stone. In the stillness, we allow ourselves to just be whomever, whatever, however. You are the one to make a difference. And you are the one chosen by the Holy Spirit. You are the one that God has brought forth a new space, a new place, and a new identity. Because you are the I am that God is. And all is well. And so it is, we say together, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.